Please stand. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word from God through which the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus and reveals his will is Matthew chapter 26. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night he was betrayed before his crucifixion and death. And when Jesus had gone a little farther, he fell on his face praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup go away from me, but not as I will, rather as you will." When he had gone away again for the second time, he prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this to go away unless I drink it, let your will be done." This is the word of our Lord. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, fellow saints washed clean in the blood of our risen Savior. Fred wanted to buy a minivan for the family, but he wasn't sure which kind. A Dodge Caravan or Ford Windstar? What was God's will? Janet wanted to go into the medical profession, but should she study to be a nurse or a doctor? What was God's will? Roy and Rachel had been going out for a long time. Were they to be lifelong companions, a married couple? What was God's will? The Biederbender family was planning their budget for the coming year. How much should they give to church? 5%? 10, 15, maybe more? What was God's will? So often when people talk about God's will and ask what God's will is, they're thinking about these day-to-day decisions. Some of these decisions are trivial. We make them and we forget about them after a time. Others can affect us for the rest of our lives. And yet, if you search the Bible from cover to cover, you're not going to find a definite answer to those kinds of questions. God does not tell us in his word what kind of car to buy, what job to take, the name of the person to marry, or the exact amount to give to church. And to go beyond what the Bible says to figure out God's will is no longer faith, but unbelief and superstition. For God has made it clear that it is in his word alone that he wants us to search out his word. That in his word, he has made known to us everything we need to live a godly life, to live according to his will. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't gain information and guidance from other people or other sources that can help us make a wise decision. But don't confuse that with God's will. Who alone can know the mind and will of God except God himself? And only his word reveals his mind and will. How wonderful that he has made known to us all that we need, made known to us in his word all that we need in order to live according to his will. Now, as we go to that word, as we search out what his will is as the Bible reveals it, what do we find? What is God's will? That's what we want to think about as we take to heart these words from Matthew chapter 26. And that's what we want to think about every time we pray those words from the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." For with those words, we are saying, "Dear Father, carry out your good and gracious will among us." And that's our theme this morning. Now, as we search the scriptures, we see that God's will is concerned not only about our day-to-day decisions that affect our earthly lifetimes, but even more so, he is concerned about you for all eternity. Think about the context of those words from Matthew. Jesus has celebrated the Passover with his disciples and taken them out to Gethsemane. Jesus knows what's coming next. He knows the filth of sin and the crushing weight of the world's guilt that was going to be laid upon him. He knows what's coming. The thorns, the nails, the bloody cross, the divine punishment and God-forsakenness. All that is mixed in that cup that he is about to drink. Our hell, our death, our sin, all mixed for him to drink. And as our minds see this happening, we could well ask, how could a loving father will such torture for his son? How could he turn a deaf ear to those pleas, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me? How could he send his son to such a dark and cruel place as the cross? How could he abandon him, forsaking him in that hour of his greatest need? Yes, apart from God's word, based on our human wisdom and what we see, God's will appears dark and twisted. But let the Holy Spirit open up your eyes through the word, for he shows us that God's will is truly good and gracious, despite what human eyes and wisdom might conclude. For the Father did indeed answer those pleas of his Son. Remember all that Jesus prayed there. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup go away from me, but not as I will, rather as you will. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. Father answered those prayers. He gave Jesus the strength to drink that cup, and Jesus' will lined up with his heavenly Father's. And that will is certainly good and gracious. For as horrid and wicked as that cross appears to our human eyes, that is where God's good and gracious will saved you. For that is what God's will is, to save us through Jesus Christ. Who would ever have imagined that the holy, just God would save wicked, dirty sinners like you and like me by sacrificing his Son, his own dear Son, the Holy Lamb of God? And who would ever believe such news unless the Holy Spirit changes our hearts? So when you wonder what God's will is, first, look to the cross, and there see that God's will is to save you through Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, God our Savior wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, and that includes you. Jesus drank that cup for you. Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost, including Zacchaeus and including you and me. This is God's good and gracious will. Now, you also have the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh working hard against God's will. They don't want to save us, they want to damn us. But Jesus has defeated them. That's why he drank that cup of our sin and death, to bring defeat to the enemies. And because he has risen from the dead, Jesus gives you the victory. Don't refuse that gift. Don't fall again under the will of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, for they are still hard at work trying to destroy God's will that wants to save you. The devil, with his lies, wants to plant doubts in your heart. Can you really trust God? Is he actually concerned about your well-being? Is his word trustworthy? The world parades before us its riches and pleasures, trying to crowd Jesus out of our hearts. The world says, you need to devote your time and energy to getting all of this stuff. And then when we have some of the world stuff, the world feeds our worries by saying, oh, you better work hard to hold on to those things. You don't want to lose that stuff. And within each one of us, working hand in hand like a traitor with the devil and the world, is our sinful flesh, weakening our resolve, saying, you need to live life up and enjoy the here and now. Worry about that religious stuff later. Yes, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh are strong enemies. And if we follow them, how tragic. Yes, Jesus has defeated them, but God does not forcibly keep us from surrendering ourselves to them again, if that is what we choose to do. And then how tragic. For God's good and gracious will that wants to save you through Jesus Christ, that good and gracious will also sees to it that in the end, the devil and all who have followed him are punished forever. That all those who have turned their back on Jesus and followed their own sinful desires are cut off forever in the never-ending fire of hell. And may that never be you or me. So as you pray, thy will be done. As you pray, dear Father, carry out your good and gracious will among us. Keep the cross in your heart and keep his word in your ears. For then God's good and gracious will is working your salvation. For in Jesus Christ, you have the complete victory over these enemies. As the cross lives in your heart and as his word fills your ears, then the enemies cannot get you. For God's good and gracious will saves you through Jesus Christ. And with the cross in our heart and his words in our ears, he saves us to live a holy life. And that's the second part that we want to think about here this morning. That God's good and gracious will is at work to save us from our enemies. That was the first part. And now it is at work to save us so that we live holy lives. For you see, Jesus did not drink that cup of our sin and death. He did not carry out God's will in order that we can indulge our sinful desires. Not so that we can live as if we have a get-out-of-jail-free card, a license to sin. No, not at all. Jesus drank that cup of our sin and guilt so that we live holy lives, pleasing to God. Remember what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and to us that you heard in the second lesson? We instructed you how to live in order to please God. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Sanctified means holy, set apart for God. But how can we live a holy life? The devil is so strong. The world is so aggressive. Our sinful self so deceptive. How can we resist? Once again, look to the cross. You and I are no match for those enemies, but Jesus is. He has defeated them for you. He rose from the dead to give you the victory over them. In him, you have the power to say no to the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. In Jesus, you have the power to live a holy life, a sanctified life, a life pleasing to God. As you say, thy will be done. As you pray, dear Father, help me live according. As you pray, dear Father, carry out your good and gracious will among us. You are asking him for the strength to live according to his will, to live a holy life. And he answers that prayer for you. He answers that prayer through his gospel in the scriptures and in the sacraments. For through these he gives you that strength. So don't prevent God from answering that prayer. Don't prevent him from answering it by choosing what is sinful. Rather, go to his word and sacraments. Believe his gospel. For in them, he gives you that strength. And then with his strength, strive, struggle, and strain against the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Strive, struggle, and strain to live a holy, God-pleasing life. This is his good and gracious will. Now, how does all this tie in with those day-to-day decisions that we talked about at the beginning? Since the Bible doesn't tell us what car to buy, what job to take, what person to marry, or how much to give, does that mean that we just forget about the Bible when we make those kinds of decisions? No, not at all. For that would be giving in to the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. That would be inviting them to make those decisions for us. No. Rather, whatever the decision, whatever the choice, God wants you to make it. First of all, by taking to heart what his word says about what is right and what is wrong. He wants you to carefully consider all your God-given responsibilities in life and how you best can fulfill them. He wants you to trust in him as you make that decision, not to trust in your money or your cleverness or your friends. He wants you to weigh what choices will allow you to serve him best, to the glory of your heavenly Father. He wants you to make the decisions that show that his word, that he and his word are number one in your life, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day. And sometimes, maybe most of the time, making the best choice will also seem like the scariest choice. When we place God's word first, when we say no to sin, when we strive to show godly love to others, we can also think that those choices are leaving us vulnerable, that they are costing us earthly money or time or prestige or friends. What then? Well, then again, remember God's good and gracious will. He wants to save you. And that includes saving us for all eternity. That is what he is focused on. And at times that might lead us through troubles in this life, through valleys of darkness and danger. But you know that his ultimate goal is to save you. That is his good and gracious will. And when we begin to wonder whether the troubles we are facing will overshadow the future salvation, remember just what price he paid for you. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not, along with him, graciously give us all things? So make the best choice that gives the glory to God, even if that is the most difficult choice. Make that choice no matter what the consequences. Because you know God's good and gracious will that wants to save you. You know the cross of Jesus Christ, that no matter what you lose, you still have everything, for you have Jesus. Then you can sing with Martin Luther, "Take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth." God's will, his good and gracious will never fail you. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please turn to the last page of the service, order of service, and we will read together Luther's explanation to the third petition of the Lord's Prayer from the Small Catechism, as printed on the last page of the order of service. Your will be done. Your will be done. on earth as in heaven. What does this mean? God's good and gracious will is certainly done without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it be done among us also. How is this done? When God breaks and hinders every evil plan and will that won't let us keep God's name holy or let his kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the world, and our flesh. Rather, he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and in faith until our end. This is his gracious and good will. Please be seated.